Good morning, everybody. I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave.
This is Hot Start.
And it's day one of AirVenture 2010.
Here we go. We hit
and
the ground
what a day.
Running. We hit the mud.
The ground swimming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Camp Scholar, well, what can we say about it?
It's there.
And
it's,
there's a
it's
lot
getting
of mud.
Better every day that we've noticed the mud levels are dropping.
Yep. There's still one good sized lake there that the amphibious mosquitoes are using.
Yeah, I was gonna say that even the mosquitoes have floats.
Yeah, it's that bad. But you know what? Don't sit there and say I'm not going to Oshkosh because, well, it's a mud fest. No, come on out, really. We have a lot of things to see, a lot of things to do, and we're going
to
have beautiful weather.
A lot of people
weather.
To talk to.
Yeah, we got beautiful weather for the next couple of days. Things are going to dry out. Planes are going to fly. We're going to have a lot of fun.
And speaking of beautiful people, we're joined this morning by the chairman of the EAA Communications Group, Mr. Ron Scott. How you doing, Ron?
Morning,
Ronnie.
Ron.
Ronnie, Scotty, what are you going to... Sheesh.
Anything but too late for a meal.
There you go. There you go. And you've been doing it since the dawn of time?
Oh. Dawn of time. Yeah, this is...
That's like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
I was going to say, he's been on the communications gang so long, he was there watching Marconi invent the radio.
He helped him.
Believe it or not, some of our radios, our early radios that we got out of Hamfest, Floyd Taylor, bless his heart, gone now, and his son is Steve, who is running the grounds here, and he'd go to Hamfest and get some of these old clunkers, and we had a couple of Marconi. That was a brand name,
yes,
Marconi Radio. So we had some Marconis in the early days.
My goodness.
Wow.
Warm up the radio, Ma.
Oh, that's scary stuff.
Oh, man, I tell you. We had a lot of stuff that would be considered, like an Egyptian mummy, antiques today.
Well, you know you're bad when you get somebody new, and he says, boy, the last time I saw one of these, it was in a museum.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Geez, I didn't know they had any of these still working.
Yeah. So things have changed a bit since you started.
Oh, yeah. When we first started, well, I started in 60. This makes my 50th year. And Paul borrowed three radios from National Guard in Milwaukee. And we had a little 50-watt amplifier and five old speakers down there. And we had of course, you guys aren't old enough to remember this, but no World War II magneto field phone.
Oh, yeah.
Seen them, never used one.
Yeah, never used them. And we had three satellite phones on that along the fence line where we just ran the wire.
So, would you just crank it and hope someone picked up?
Yeah, and if you crank it, and then, of course, that rings, then you got line power, voltage on the lines. And it worked pretty good, for the day.
Yeah.
Everything was intense. To begin with, and I designed a trailer in the mid-60s, which I don't know is still around here or not, but the Ford Trimotor hit it, actually, and we were doing an air show and a benefit for the museum in Hales Corners, and our comm trailer, everything was self-contained, so we could move it from place to place, and do an air show, walk show, and stuff like that. And then we had a bad windstorm, and the Ford Trimotor was parked right outside of the comm center, and all of a sudden, bingo, the Ford let loose. Hit the trailer, and the winds, because the west side of the trailer, was facing the winds, and it blew right over into my 1969 Mach 1 Mustang.
Oh!
On the top. It ended in the top quite a bit there. And, of course, did a lot of damage to the Ford.
Mustang, that is. That's the only one he's really concerned about.
Yeah, right. And no insurance, of course, and I finally wound up, I beat it out, and then they had stuff in those days that you maybe don't remember, but they had, they put leather tops on the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Remember vinyl tops.
Do you have vinyl tops?
Oh, yeah.
And then they came out with a vinyl tape that would simulate the leather, so I bumped it out as best I could, that's the same thing, you just never can get them smooth. But anyway, I sprayed this stuff on there, and by golly, you could hardly tell it, so...
Wow.
Made out of that, but Paul was flying, I shouldn't say flying, he was in a P-64 facing into the wind, and with the engine running, and he registered 84 mile an hour on the airspeed indicator.
Wow.
At the height of the thing, I guess, and we lost, 8 or 10 airplanes flipped over, they were facing the wind, it was straight line winds, and kind of funny because later on, I was in my hometown of Tome. I had a friend up there was a barber, and I get my barber up there. I'd stop in and see him get a haircut. And this guy walks in. He says, "Scotty, you know so and so here?" And I says, "No, I don't guess so." And he was a farmer. He had a little stuff on his boots and stuff, you know. And he says, "He was down there where they got a big windstorm hit Burlington." "Oh, really?" And I said, "How bad did you hurt your airplane?" And I said, "Well, first I said, where were you parked?" He said, "Well, facing the wind there, and right along the fence." And it, like I say, I tipped the guy had a brand new starter that's just built, flipped it right over the fence.
Ow.
And there were several. There must have been eight, like I say, 8 or 10. And no, he says, "I got an old Taylor craft." He says, "No, I've never been." I says, "Well, gee whiz, that was right in that area there, you know, where the—" "Yeah," he says, "I untied it." He says, "I heard the wind was coming, so I turned it around, tail end of the wind, retied it, sat in it, held the elevator down with the wheel there." He says, "Didn't move a bit."
Nice.
Smart man.
Just shows the go yet, don't it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say he turned it into wind, fired the engine up, and just taxied stationary. Just flew it right there in the parking spot.
You know, I've always wondered if anybody has ever actually done that.
Well, that's what Paul did with a P-64. He had the engine running and everything.
Yeah, he basically held it steady.
And it kind of had the tail up a little bit, I guess, at one point there. But, yeah, it was kind of a bad one. He got had a lot of damage there. But that was a benefit air show for the old museum down at Hales Corners.
Speaking of bad weather, have you ever seen this place this muddy?
Not quite this muddy. Over the years, we've had some storms. I remember being over across the field one time. We ate over there. I forget the name of the place. Just right across the field anyway. And all of a sudden, it started raining. My gosh, in sheets. And I thought, oh, and the wind started blowing. And I thought, gee, I better get back over there. And I think that's the time when we had, I don't know, there was about 18 airplanes, I think, involved in that, too. They were dumped. Water everywhere. And I drove back from across the field here, and I couldn't hardly see the road. I was going like 5 miles an hour. It was just so bad. And then got to the comm center. Paul was down there, too. We stayed up all night drinking cocoa and trying to keep things together. Of course, we had a lot of radios at that time, too, according to the size of the outfit, of course, not 250 like we got today. And we were kind of coordinating there and running people around, finding out what's going on. And we were kind of like the nerve center, you might say, to coordinate things. But, yeah, it was pretty bad those days. But we've had a few, but nothing like this.
It's been an eventful week so far.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I was out in the campground Saturday night when we arrived. I was drafted for service on the Bose cart, and the mood of the people was just extraordinary. Yeah. Everybody was in a good mood. Mm-hmm. And when the generator finally ran out of gas, somebody else provided liquid refreshment, which we greatly appreciated.
There you go.
You wouldn't do anything like that.
Oh, geez. Heck no. Not on duty, but as soon as that generator quit.
All right.
Fast, yeah. Eddie. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, that's us.
Hey, I was out there trying to get it done, and we had a good time. It worked out well.
Well, that's the big thing here, and I've always looked at it this way. You got to keep positive.
Absolutely.
Anything that happens, you got to keep positive. You get down in the dumps and grumpy and all that, it doesn't help anything.
I was in the middle of this one field, and it was just mud everywhere, and this woman comes up and says, "What mud?" I was impressed. I almost fell off the cart.
Well, Ron, we could keep you for another week, but we have other guests.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You have other guests, do you?
Can you believe it? We've got a full schedule.
Have you really?
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, Susan has done a pretty good job of scheduling people, huh?
She's been spearing them, whipping them, roping them. I think she used a bear trap. But she's getting them.
Yeah, threatening them with bodily harm and blackmail.
Oh, no, that's us.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's you guys, yeah. And then she got me this slot here before breakfast. I mean, that's, you know, I don't normally get up this early.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't normally get up this early,
no,
do you?
No.
Well, that's so okay. You got plenty of time to go back to your office and take a nap.
Take a nap.
That's right. Well, you don't have radios
it's
to fix.
It's not quite nap time. I got a few things to do before that, I guess.
All right. Well, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And you've been listening to Ron Scott, who's the chairman of EAA Communications, affectionately known as the Green Gang. And you're listening to EAA Radio.